Amen. I give God thanks for all those who have led us in worship by public profession of faith, by prayer, by song, beautiful song, and for those who have beautified this space, I give God thanks as well. We are in the holy season of Advent. This is the last Sunday in Advent, and we're in a sermon series called Expectant, Anticipating Advent. Today, I want to draw your attention to a very famous story known as the Christmas story, Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and the title of my sermon is A Christmas Play. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word, help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. In December of 2007, my family took a trip to Italy. While we were there, we saw some of the most beautiful church buildings in the world. One day, we walked into a glorious old church in the city of Siena, and inside we happened upon a group of children and adults rehearsing for a Christmas play. A man was leading everybody and clapping rhythmically to the music. Little angels and rambunctious shepherds are running around all over the place, and a joyous energy filled the room. It reminded me of some of the beautiful Christmas programs I've seen children put on here in the U.S. It also made me realize that churches all over the world put on various types of Christmas plays. Historically speaking, nativity plays became popular in the High Middle Ages. It was during that time that Saint Francis of Assisi suggested that peasants who were unable to read should be able to see the Christmas story enacted. I think the tradition of having Christmas plays has flourished for the last several centuries because something about the Christmas story begs to be dramatized. I can hardly read Luke 2 without thinking in terms of a play. I see the various characters as different roles to be played. First, there is Joseph, a righteous person who quietly goes about doing the right thing. Luke tells us only that he traveled with Mary to Bethlehem. But Matthew adds that when Joseph finds out Mary is pregnant, he plans to break off their engagement privately so as not to disgrace her publicly. But an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him to stay with Mary because the child within her is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph does just as God says. He stands by his fiancée, even though the child she's carrying is not his. He subjects himself to public scrutiny in order to do the right thing. Joseph is the kind of character who doesn't make a lot of noise and doesn't ask for much airtime. He just quietly goes about doing what's right, especially when it's difficult. He is steady and faithful amid unprecedented and odd circumstances. Mary is another prominent role. Mary is a humble person who does God's will. When the angel Gabriel tells her that she is going to be the Messiah's mom, she is perplexed and voices some good questions. She is not the kind of believer who goes through the motions and pretends piety. She is authentic, inquisitive, and intentional. But finally she says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary also ponders the word of God in her heart. She's a contemplative character who thinks deeply on spiritual things and is willing to serve in whatever way God asks. Another key role is played by the shepherds. They are busy when news of the Christ child reaches them. Verse 8 says, they are watching their flock by night. But after the angels tell them that the Savior has been born, the shepherds go urgently to seek the child. They say, "Let us go now to Bethlehem." When they get there, they meet baby Jesus and his family, and they testify about how angels had visited them in the fields. Then they return to their lives as changed people, praising God for what has happened. The shepherds are exemplary characters. They learn about Christ. They seek Christ urgently. They testify to others, and they give God glory. Shepherds back then were sometimes thought to be sketchy, but in this story, they are noble through and through. Working hand in hand with the shepherds are the angels. The angels are messengers who tell people what God is up to. The word in Greek, angelos, means messenger. And in verses 10 through 11, they basically say, "Don't be afraid, but be joyful, for Christ the Savior is born." They also sing praises to God, lifting their voices to declare glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. Clearly, there are a number of roles involved in the Christmas story. Whenever a church portrays the narrative in Luke 2, there are several important characters to depict. I once read about a church that put on a different kind of Christmas play. They performed a Christmas carol by Charles Dickens, the famous story of the infamous Ebenezer Scrooge. In the story, three ghosts visit Scrooge on Christmas Eve: the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. In the morning, Scrooge awakens as a brand new person. He has been converted from Bah Humbug to Merry Christmas. And he's so excited and overjoyed that he opens his window up on the second floor and calls out to a young lad below, saying, "Young man, come up here. I have something for you to do." Then he hands the young man some money to go and buy a turkey for the poor Cratchit family so that all of them, including Tiny Tim, can eat like royalty on Christmas Day. Well, according to Thomas Long, a church was putting on this play some years ago, and when the man playing Scrooge yelled out, "Young man, come up here. I have something for you to do," a little boy in the audience thought Scrooge was talking to him. So he stood up and stepped up onto the stage. In that moment, one who was hearing the story entered the story. Observer became participant. Spectator became actor. That is what the Christmas story asks of us. We are not to be observers, but participants in the story of redemption. We are not to be spectators, but actors in the drama of salvation. Each of us is called not only to hear God's story, but to step into it by faith. The Christmas story is not just a narrative on a page. It's an account of how God's will is unfolding in the world, and we all have a role to play. I believe God is issuing a casting call today. God is calling for Josephs, folks who obey the Lord and do what's right, especially when it's difficult. God is looking for Josephs, believers who don't make a lot of noise and don't want a lot of credit, but remain steady and faithful in odd and unprecedented circumstances. Who will play the role of Joseph? God is calling for Marys too, people who are humble and willing to serve whenever God calls, people who will say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." God is looking for Marys, people who go deeper than surface level faith, to ponder profoundly the word of God in their hearts. God is looking for believers who are authentic, inquisitive, and intentional. Who will play the role of Mary? God is also calling for shepherds, people who put Christ first in their lives, people who have the words "seek Christ" written at the top of their holiday to-do list, people who drop everything to draw near to God. God is looking for shepherds, people who learn about Christ, seek Christ urgently, testify to others, and give God glory. Who will play the role of shepherd? God is calling for angels as well. Not people with halos over their heads or people who act holier than thou, but messengers who tell others what God is up to. God is looking for angels, People who lift their voices to pass on the good news to others, to sing praises to God from whom all blessings flow, and to declare peace on earth. Who will play the role of angel? There are many roles that God wants filled, and I hope each of us will play at least one of these roles: Joseph, Mary, shepherd, angel. But there's one role that's already taken, one role that God doesn't need anyone else to play, one role that is suited for one actor only, and that is the role of Savior. I know Caesar Augustus was the one issuing decrees, but he was not fit to play the role of Savior. I know Quirinius was governor of Syria, but he was not suited to play the role of Savior. Only the humble, manger-born Christ saves from sin and death. Christ is the one who brings joy despite hardship. Christ is the one who brings peace amid tumult. Christ is the one who brings hope against despair. Christ is the one who brings abiding love within any and every situation. Christ is the lead, the star of the show, and all the other roles revolve around him. Christ takes center stage in God's great drama. Bethlehem might have appeared to be backstage compared to the lights of Rome, but the manger in Bethlehem upstaged all the shine of Caesar's palace. Christ was in the spotlight when he was born to a poor family, in the spotlight when he was healing people, in the spotlight when he was forgiving people's sins, in the spotlight when he was calming the storm, in the spotlight when he was preaching God's kingdom, in the spotlight when he was embracing the outcast, in the spotlight when he was uplifting the oppressed, in the spotlight when he was dying on the cross, and in the spotlight when he was rising victorious over the grave. And one day, when the curtain is drawn on history, Christ is the one who will get all the applause and all the acclamation, all the credit and all the commendation. It's going to be quite a curtain call when the ultimate advent of Christ occurs. For when God's kingdom comes in fullness, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen.